I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Adi Kaju. Known as the Barbell Gypsy, you can find Adi weightlifting, bobsledding, powerlifting, or competing in the NPGL or the CrossFit Open. In her childhood, Adi struggled with her weight and found herself at 16 years old, 45 pounds overweight, and leading an unhealthy and unhappy life. After some encouragement from her mother, she decided to make a change. She gained control of her body and diet and discovered a new passion, nutrition. Most recently, Adi has gained an immense amount of knowledge from working with other nutrition consultants, known for creating macro-counting diets and helping athletes lose fat. Continuously advancing her knowledge, Adi has completed her Precision Nutrition Level 1 and is constantly researching and studying to become better in her field. As an athlete, Adi has studied and trained under many renowned coaches, most notably Amy Everett, national champion, Travis Mash, world champion powerlifter, and Steve Sandor, Hungarian national champion. Adi is currently completing her master's in nutrition and human performance. Adi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Adi, I'm really curious to know at the outset a little bit about your business background, and in particular, how did you start? How did you start your business?
In particular, my business background is probably close to nil, nothing, zero. I wasn't one of those people who, you know, had the lemonade stand as a child and was born with the entrepreneurial spirit. It definitely wasn't me. I actually found myself growing up saying I never wanted to be my own boss. I loved the idea of, you know, being able to go home at the end of the day and all the problems would be somebody else's problems instead of being my own. That didn't end up panning out exactly that way. I was going to be a kindergarten teacher and I did my master's in teaching at the OISE, the University of Toronto, from Toronto, Canada. And the final project for that master's program was to create an e-portfolio that would be used to apply for teaching jobs. But I had decided that I was going to be taking the year off to try and qualify for the Pan American Games in Olympic style weightlifting. And I went up to my professor and said, you know, I'm not going to be applying for jobs. Can I do this website a little bit differently, like the online portfolio, make it a little bit more relevant to what it is that I was actually doing? And that ended up being a website called workingagainstgravity.com. And it was a blog about documenting my athletic journey towards Pan American Games. And I ended up moving down a weight class because weightlifting is a weight class specific sport. So I moved down from the 69 kilo class to the 63 kilo class. And in any strength sports, losing weight is primarily associated with losing strength as well. It's like get bigger, get stronger. It's never get smaller, get stronger. But I actually lost close to 16 pounds and gained a significant amount of strength, and documented that through my website and attributed that primarily to the fact that I had been, you know, training really hard, of course, but I was also monitoring my nutrition and my energy and making sure that I was getting the right macronutrients in order to build muscle at the same time as losing fat. And the people that were reading my blog found that incredibly interesting. I think it's one of those like things that catches you, like, oh my gosh, you lost weight and got stronger. It was kind of unheard of at the time. This was in summer of 2014. And a couple people started emailing me and asking me if I would help them do the same with their nutrition. And once I got past five people, I decided that I was going to start charging them for it. And now I'm here running a business with around 35 employees.
Wow. So two things. One is it does sound counterintuitive to lose weight and gain strength.
Yes.
And second is, it's interesting how we make certain plans and then reality may inform us differently than what we expect.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
Right, with you saying you didn't want to start a business and your marketplace started telling you something and you listened to the marketplace.
Yes.
So I wondered if you could share maybe what your reaction was, or maybe some insights around what happens when something happens that's different than what you planned, and how you know when to listen to these cues and what to do about it.
I think that probably one of my strengths as a business owner or as a leader is being able to identify things that are serving me and things that are not, and letting go of the things that are not serving me very quickly and implementing the things that do serve me very fast. I'm not super attached to the way anything currently works. I try and use personal development to allow myself to be aware of when my ego is trying to keep something versus when my customers actually are benefiting from that thing being still in my business. So I really do take their feedback super seriously, whether it's, you know, one person giving me a piece of feedback, or I like to think that if one person's giving me a piece of feedback, there's 10 people that are not saying it. They're just too afraid to give me that piece of feedback. So I do take all that stuff very seriously, and I try not to get super attached to like really anything that we're doing. And I kind of get excited for when things break, or, you know, we implement something new, and I try and implement it as soon as possible so that I can get the feedback right away. I almost assume it's going to break at some point, and I get excited to get that feedback so that I can use it to make whatever it is that I've put into action better.
Yeah. Are there techniques that you use, Adi, that specifically trigger customer response?
Yeah. I mean, I try and get customer feedback constantly. It's like one of my favorite things to do. A bunch of things that I do are probably not like in business terms scalable. So we have a Facebook community, and I am personally constantly in there engaging with the community, asking questions. I will even take any customer complaints that come into our main inbox. I'm not shy of getting on a phone call and actually talking to them and talking to my clients and hearing their feedback or listening to their stories and trying to like understand from their perspective what it is that's really going on. And I take all of that really seriously, whether it's comments on our social media channels, comments in the Facebook group. We have moderators that are looking out for these kinds of things. And my service is a one-on-one coaching service. So our coaches are also aware that feedback is super important. So if they're seeing any of these types of things in their communications with their clients, they know to bring that to our attention.
Right. And I think what you just said about when you notice certain kinds of responses from customers, to take the time to dig a little deeper and have a one-on-one conversation with a customer. I think that's really powerful. And a lot of people either don't do that or don't do it enough.
I think sometimes people also get there, like they, I don't know if it's ego is the right word, but they might take it personal. Or like I've had, there's a blog post out there. You guys can look it up. It's called Wag Fail. And it's basically an attack on me personally, calling me an alpha. And it gives all this feedback about our program. It was written, I think, in April of 2015. And I had two options. I could have taken that blog post and I could have taken it very personally. And I could have let it, you know, been like, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about, and made it all about all her fault. But there were some things in there that I thought were actually valid, and I took what I thought was valid and I just used it to make the company better instead of taking it personally. I think sometimes we just take things too personally and don't have the space to be able to use it to make us better.
Oh, for sure. Are there, and by the way, congratulations for taking the post seriously, addressing the issues and trying to make some changes, and also being able to keep your ego out of it. Are there specific tips you can offer listeners about how to keep your ego out of these kinds of decisions or out of these kinds of processes?
Yeah, so it might be a surprising answer, but I firmly believe that your success will never exceed your personal development. And I spend a lot of time focusing on my own personal growth. So I think that everything that's going on with me personally is going to leak into my business. So if my personal finances are not organized, it's probably unlikely that the finances in the business are going to be organized, or really anything. So in order to be able to take a step back and remove myself instead of just immediately getting emotional, I work really hard on whether it's meditation or reading different books, listening to different podcasts, and trying to like make the gap bigger between some type of event happening and then a thought being created in my mind about that event. So the larger I can make that gap of there's like this pause of time before I have the thought that is ultimately going to lead to an emotion, I can choose the thought instead of just this automatic thought that's going to come into my mind. So I really, really work very hard on myself.
Yeah. Are there tips you can offer listeners about for people who maybe want to do a better job of personal development? So because they know it will impact their business positively, as you've just described, are there tips you can offer about how to ramp things up?
Yeah. So I started with the Headspace app, which is just guided meditation. It can go anywhere from, I think, 5 to 20 minutes or as long as you want it to go. It's super simple, super inexpensive, and it's just really easy to implement into your day. I would just urge listeners to know that the process of meditation is not, it's like the opposite of instant gratification. So every single person that starts a meditation practice thinks, you know, this is a waste of time, this is boring, I can't quiet my mind. It's not about, you know, having 5 minutes straight of a quiet mind. It's about bringing yourself back to the breath. And every time you have a thought and bring yourself back to the breath, it's like a rep. It's kind of like in the gym. If you want to get stronger, you have to do the reps that will accumulate over time to make you stronger. Just in the gym, you have that like physical feedback versus meditation. You have almost no feedback. So I would urge you to not get frustrated. But I do think that is like step number one, as well as doing any type of journaling practice. So, and it could be super simple. Like journaling sometimes is very overwhelming to think like, I don't even know what to start writing about. But even to just start writing about 3 things that you're grateful for, 3 things that you need to accomplish today. So you don't just mindlessly try and get a little bit of a bunch of things done. And at the end of the day, 3 things that you did really, really well, or 3 things that you could have done better.
Yeah, those are really great examples. And I've never heard anybody, you know, I've had a lot of guests on the show, I've never heard anybody describe the meditation process quite the way you have about it. Essentially that it's a long-term game.
For sure. Definitely.
Adi, what do you see as some of the corollaries between what you do in your business with nutrition and fitness and what happens for somebody who is running a business?
So it's kind of, so what I do in my business and how it correlates to somebody running a business, like how we coach clients and how that relates to people that are running their businesses.
I'm thinking about some of the techniques that you use in coaching clients around nutrition and fitness. I'm willing to bet that there are similarities in techniques that people who are running businesses could benefit from.
Oh, for sure. Okay, that makes sense. So what our main goal is initially to get some level of consistency and compliance. So in order to achieve any type of progress, you have to have consistency. You don't get to do something once and you get, you know, this tremendous amount of progress. You might get like a little boost of like, oh, I did that really well. But in order to get really amazing at something, you have to do it consistently over time. So what we do is we are willing to break every single rule in terms of nutrition and fitness. We don't have any extreme stance in any direction. All we're looking for is some level of consistency with wherever you are currently at. So we're going to meet you where you are, gain some consistency, which will ultimately lead to confidence and self-efficacy, so you feel like you're capable. And then it's easier to add something else. So it's kind of like when people say, you know, you shouldn't take on 12 new habits at the same time. You should go one, build some confidence, and then add in another. That's kind of what we're doing with our clients all the time. And in terms of business, you know, there's a million things you could be doing to work on your business. It's, and then I've been in that trap before of being overwhelmed of like, which one do I work on first? Which one's more important? But ultimately, if all of them need to get done at some point, just being consistent with any of them for a period of time, you're going to get that level of consistency, the level of confidence to then make it a little bit more automatic, to give you some more space to start working on something else that's on the list. So just meeting yourself where you're at, being super kind and compassionate and not trying to be too hard on yourself, because you can't do everything at the same time, and trying to stay, you know, focused on just some level of routine is going to make leaps and bounds in your business, I believe.
Great advice. Adi, what's been some of the most transformational help for you in your leadership journey?
A couple things I think have been transformational in my leadership journey. One would be an obvious one, is being a part of various different, whether it's business conferences or masterminds or small group think tank type environments, and being super open to feedback. I don't know if I would call myself a thief, but if I see somebody who's super successful, regardless of the industry they're in, and I see them using some type of method or strategy or whatever it is that's working for them, I'm willing to just steal it and use it and see if it works for me, instead of trying to find a different way to do it just for the sake of being original. I would rather use a path that's already been traveled initially to see if that works for me, because it's already been proven to be successful. So I definitely borrow a lot of things from other businesses, a lot of other business owners, and I ask for a lot of help. I'm not afraid to tell people everything that we do here, because I know it takes a lot of hard work. So I don't try and hide things. And I love getting help from other business owners that are, you know, people that I admire or people that are, have been doing this for longer than I have, because I haven't been doing it for that long. Mm. And then the second thing is I think the most transformational thing in my business was accidentally working with a relationship coach for my marriage. And I have an amazing husband. We've only been married for a year, and we've been dating for, you know, 2.5 years. And we have an amazing, like, it hasn't been that long. We have an amazing relationship. We don't have any real super crazy issues, but I thought I was on a phone call with a business coach. She ended up being a love expert, and we ended up working with her for 4 months straight every single week. And I think that having relationship that's like my husband, my person, the person that I'm walking with me in life, and being so strong and confident in that at the home, makes it so much easier for me to push in business.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Do you find that there are particular, you know, going back to what you said about conferences, think tanks, and masterminds, do you find that there are particular kinds of conferences or masterminds that are more helpful than others?
Yeah, I bet it's individual. So it depends on your personality. I'm like an anxious extrovert. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely extroverted, but I don't love large groups. And so like the really large conferences, it's harder for me to get into one-on-one conversations where I feel like that's where I make the most progress, versus a smaller group mastermind, maybe like 30 people, 50 people, where I feel a little bit more comfortable, and it's easier for somebody, whether to initiate a conversation with me or I'm sitting beside someone and there's not like this huge talk going on at the front, or there's hot seats, or, you know, it's a little bit more in depth. Those are definitely easier for me to feel comfortable to start talking about things that might help me.
That sounds great. And how do you find the ones that you like to go to?
I have a lot of, any of the ones that I've ever gone to have been recommended to me from other people. And I'm always willing to just try something. It's if someone I really respect has seen progress somewhere, I just immediately, I value them and their opinion. So I just go and try it out. That's just how it's worked for me. I've just either been invited or someone's recommended it to me. And I think that I'm in a unique situation where I'm usually younger than the group, and I'm usually one of fewer females. So it might be that I'm just like novel, and people more often recommend things to me.
Sounds great. Adi, what do you think really successful people, whether it's in a business setting or trying to accomplish, you know, something like a nutrition and fitness objective, what is it that you think really successful people do that others don't?
I think really successful people are always challenging themselves personally. I really think that that's like the biggest needle mover. It's like the lead domino that pushes all the other dominoes down, is whether it's going to different retreats or self-development conferences or different books or practicing meditation or working with therapists. It's not like working with a therapist because something's already wrong with you. It's being proactive instead of reactive. I think that if you're working with if you need a therapist, then you probably could have used one before you needed it, and then maybe you wouldn't have needed it. And it's often that you meet really, really successful people that had hit rock bottoms and then, you know, overcame something and became extremely successful, whether it's addiction or a near-death experience. And often that's followed by a lot of therapy and rehab. And I don't think you need to have a rock bottom experience to have that kind of personal development, which is ultimately going to lead to a lot of success. I have not met a single super successful person that, you know, leads a life that I'm like, I want to lead that life as well, that isn't doing that kind of stuff.
Mm. So what I'm also hearing is that the rate of increase of success for some people can be really cyclical, and that isn't necessarily the healthiest way to do it. That it may still be up and down, but doesn't always have to be so extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
That's a great point. Who do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job at smashing the plateau?
I think that one thing that I have an advantage of that probably the listeners don't necessarily is I get access to a lot of really elite level athletes. And whether that's Olympians, or I'm prominent in the CrossFit space, and I work with, you know, 4 or 5 CrossFit Games champions, and seeing those athletes smash through plateaus has directly helped me with my business. So they're so dialed in, so consistent, so self-aware, and then they hit a plateau and they don't let that defeat them and stay falling in love with the process. And there's nobody that does it quite like an athlete does. I mean, super, super high level performers, sure, maybe. I haven't met as many of them as I have, you know, Olympic level athletes that are winning Olympic medals, but they can go months without seeing progress, and it doesn't hinder their hard work and effort. It doesn't push them down because they absolutely love the process. They love going to the gym every single day. They don't need that. I call it like, you know, that boost of progress juice. When you like make some gain, you get that like feeling inside of like, oh, I feel it. Like I'm super excited. They can go months, sometimes years without feeling that and still love going to the gym every day, love tracking their nutrition, and they're just absolutely in love with the process of being disciplined and committed to their craft. And that's exactly how they smash through plateaus and eventually, you know, get that progress. Because sometimes the progress is not like as tangible as increases in revenue or increases in customers or exposure. It might be subtle that you're not even aware of it. So just regardless, falling in love with the process is going to make it so that you are happy, regardless of whether you're getting that, you know, extra money in your bank account.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing from you is leadership is very personal, requires a lot of focus and discipline. It's a process, and success is long term. And you need to really enjoy the process in order to be a good leader.
For sure.
Great advice. Adi, what's coming up for you in the near future?
So in the near future, I'm in the process of figuring out what this whole scaling thing is. So I've been very fortunate that I've had too much demand, not enough supply in my business, and I've always been on a waiting list. So we finally have a good system for bringing on more coaches so we can service more clients. So figuring out how to actually start focusing on marketing and not relying entirely on word of mouth. So that's what's coming up for me, as well as other initiatives is we have developed a software where our entire program lives, which is really amazing. And we're going to be, licensing that to other gyms or affiliates or CrossFit gyms or whoever's interested in helping their clients transform in the fitness industry. We're going to be teaching them exactly how we do what we do and providing for them essentially a turnkey business so that they can be successful as well as help people transform their lives.
Wow, that's great. And yes, it sounds like those are the kinds of things that should really be helpful in scaling.
Yes.
Adi, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
You can learn more about me at workingagainstgravity.com. You can find me on social media at Working Against Gravity, as well as at Adi Kazhu, and it's spelled AdiCazayoux. I've been spelling that for a really long time, and that's pretty much where you can find me.
That sounds great. Well, Adi, thank you so much for coming on Smashing the Plateau today. It's been great talking to you about what you do in your business, as well as how you have built your business, some of the corollaries between the two, a lot about leadership. You've had some great insights that you've shared and some great tips for the audience. So thanks so much. My guest today has been Adi Kazhu, CEO and founder of Working Against Gravity. Thank you again, Adi, for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.